We can turn back in your Bibles to Luke again, chapter 1. You know, Daniel tells me all these jokes, and every once in a while I got to come up with one. And so I didn't come up with this one. I think my dad did. But there's a husband and wife, and they were driving, and they got in an accident. And the wife turned out to be okay, and the husband was beat up a little bit more. He was in the hospital. And the doctor came out to the wife and said, "Well, it doesn't look real great for your husband. There's two possibilities here. The one is that he may die in about 6 weeks. The second is that if you wait on him hand and foot, he'll be okay." And so that's great. The wife walks in and says, "Well, the doctor told me the news. You're going to die." So, you know, if we look at that joke in a couple different ways, on the one side, that's not the answer you would probably expect to hear, is it? So that's kind of what makes it funny. On the other thing, it's kind of serious, because in relationships, there's times where, if we're honest with ourselves, we probably kind of feel that way. I'm sure that I'm not going to speak for my wife. But I want to look at another relationship today. What couple did we look at last week? Zachariah, what was his wife's name? Elizabeth. And what did we talk about then? He was a priest, chosen. They were chosen by God to be the parents of who? John the Baptist. And John the Baptist was the one who's going to do what? Make the path straight. Baptize. What was the specific thing that the angel said? That prepare the way of Jesus Christ. Okay, so as I was studying another couple in the Bible this week, you can imagine who I might have been studying. Okay, so we looked at Mary and Joseph this week. And the deeper I studied, the more I thought about them, and the closer I came to the understanding about their relationship. And you know, when we think about the Bible story, we might not always think about what's really going on in the times, because we, you know, Christmas is a cheery time. We don't always tell the side of the story that's a little harder. And I told my wife how excited I was about my sermon today. I said, "Yeah, I'm really excited that all this stuff I've learned." She's like, "Yeah, I already knew all that stuff." But okay. Pop that bubble. Still excited, though. But she said that's because she's a woman and I'm not. So, okay, let's learn about our second couple, Luke's account of the Christmas story. One thing about Zachariah and Elizabeth, what made them such a good couple for God to choose them to be the parents of John the Baptist? There's a couple of different things we talked about. One was that he was a Jewish priest and they were devout to the Lord. But what about glorifying the Lord? What were they in the means that they would really glorify the Lord, that this could be of no other work than God? She was age, what'd you say? Miracle. It was a miracle. Because she was old and she was barren and she couldn't have kids. And so God was definitely glorified through that situation. There couldn't have been anyone else, I don't think, that we could have, that could claim that glory. Let's read in Luke chapter 1, verses 26 through 56. "In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a village in Galilee, to a virgin named Mary. She was engaged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of King David. Gabriel appeared to her and said, 'Greetings, favored woman, the Lord is with you.' Confused and disturbed, Mary tried to think what the angel could mean. 'Don't be afraid, Mary,' the angel told her, 'for you have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be very great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestor David, and he will reign over Israel forever. His kingdom will never end.' Mary asked the angel, 'So how can this happen? I'm a virgin.' The angel replied, 'The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the baby to be born will be holy, and he will be called the Son of God. What's more, your relative Elizabeth has become pregnant in her old age. People used to say she was barren, but she's now in her sixth month. For nothing is impossible with God.' Mary responded, 'I am the Lord's servant. May everything you have said about me come true.' And then the angel left her. A few days later, Mary hurried to the hill country of Judea, to the town where Zechariah lived. She entered the house and greeted Elizabeth. At the sound of Mary's greeting, Elizabeth's child leapt within her, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Elizabeth gave a glad cry and exclaimed to Mary, "God has blessed you above all women, and your child is blessed. Why am I so honored that the mother of my Lord should visit me? When I heard your greeting, the baby in my womb wept for joy. You are blessed because you believed that the Lord would do what he said." Mary responded, "Oh, how my soul praises the Lord. How my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. For he took notice of his lowly servant girl. And from now on, all generations will call me blessed. For the Mighty One is holy. He has done great things for me. He shows mercy from generation to generation to all who fear him. His mighty arm has done tremendous things. He has scattered the proud and haughty ones. He has brought down princes from their thrones and exalted the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away with empty hands. He has helped his servant Israel and remembered to be merciful. For he made this promise to our ancestors, to Abraham and his children forever." Mary stayed with Elizabeth about 3 months and then went back to her own home. So that kind of tells us quite a bit about Mary. What makes Mary such a good candidate to be the mother of the Messiah? Any ideas? What would make somebody a good candidate? She's a girl. That's good. She's a girl. She can be a mom. She's a virgin. Thank you, Peg. She's a girl. She's a virgin. How about, what's that? Faithful. The angel said that she was favored. And so it tells us just a little bit about Mary. Even though we don't know a whole lot, we know that she's a girl, she's a virgin, she's faithful, she's most likely poor. All wonderful ways for God to be glorified in this birth. I wrote down a couple of things here. The first is that she's related to Elizabeth. It's a very important connection. You notice how when she asked the angel, "How is this going to be? I'm a virgin." One of the ways that he gives her an example is that your relative, someone you know, Elizabeth, who is old and barren, has now been conceived, for nothing is impossible with God. And so he gives her that reassurance right there in that connection. Also, it connects John and Jesus by family. And if we think about the time that Mary went through, she's really going to need somebody's support, isn't she? Why not it be her relative? Someone who loves her and someone whom she already knows. Someone whom has already had that miracle of God started in her to help her with support, to help her with love. Someone who believes just as much as Mary does that this is what God is doing. The second thing that makes Mary such a great candidate is that there's going to be so much glory to God through this. It's a very unique situation. There's glory because Elizabeth was old and barren. And that means that she was a divine displeasure to God by society. Naturally, that's what you would think. Obviously, God is displeased with you. She's too old to conceive, let alone carry a child and then deliver a baby. Not just get pregnant, but to do all of those things. And Mary, who's a young, God-fearing virgin at this time, is very unique. First, that she's God-fearing. Second, that she's a virgin. They probably should go hand in hand. She's poor. She's female. And so the glory for God, society would never pick a girl like this to be used by God in anything big. First, because she's a girl. Second, because she's poor. God can't use somebody like that. It's a very unique situation. It says in verse 28 that Mary is favored by God. Wouldn't you love for an angel to show up and say, "Hey, you're favored. God favors you"? Now, if we read on, you should probably be a little bit scared at that point as what he's going to say next. But what a wonderful thing to hear. It would be very hard for glory to be given to anyone other than God in these two situations. Now, I say praise to God for choosing Elizabeth and Mary, especially because Mary, who has just been told by Gabriel that she is to be conceived by the Holy Spirit and give birth to Jesus, whose name alone means the Lord saves, who is going to have a kingdom that will never end and is to be the salvation for all of mankind. Praise God for choosing Mary, for having someone that he can do that through. But along with that blessing, to be the only woman in the history of the world to be conceived by the Holy Spirit and give birth to the Messiah, that's something we need to understand about Mary. Never again will there be a woman who was conceived by the Holy Spirit to give birth to a Messiah. And this was the Messiah that they've been praying for generations. So she truly is blessed to be the woman who gets to carry that child. But there's probably going to be some complications, do you think? Do you think there might be some complications between what God says is right and what society says is right? It says that Mary is engaged to a good man named Joseph, a descendant of the line of David, and this fulfills the prophecy that Jesus is going to come from the line of David, that he's going to take over David's throne and have a kingdom that reigns forever. Wouldn't you love it if God came down and said, Mike, your son Dan is going to have a kingdom that's going to reign forever? I'd be feeling pretty good. I'm like, well, sign me up. I want to live in the castle. But that fulfills the line. It says that Joseph is a good man. Let's go back to Matthew chapter 1. Because this is where we learn a little bit more about Joseph. Luke doesn't talk a whole lot about him. I could have marked it, I guess. But Matthew chapter 1, verse 19, 18 through 25. An angel appears to Joseph. This is how Jesus the Messiah was born. His mother Mary was engaged to be married to Joseph. But before the marriage took place, while she was still a virgin, she became pregnant through the power of the Holy Spirit. Joseph, her fiancé, was a good man and did not want to disgrace her publicly, so he decided to break the engagement quietly. As he considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. Joseph, son of David, the angel said, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child within her was conceived by the Holy Spirit, and she will have a son. And you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All of this occurred to fulfill the Lord's message through his prophet. Look, the virgin will conceive a child, she will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God is with us. They describe Joseph as a good man. Now, this is where it kind of gets a little bit complicated, because Mary and Joseph are engaged. They're not married yet. But in those times, being engaged to someone was as good as being married. It meant that you would be married. You just haven't had the ceremony yet. There's no giving the ring back at this point. So they're not yet married. And what happens to Mary? What's a miracle? She's pregnant. Oh, well, you know, most people say, well, let's put two and two together here. Now, by today's society, It's not really such a big complication, is it? You get pregnant out of wedlock, you just get married. Or it's not even a big deal if you don't. I worked with somebody in Ohio who dated this girl for, I don't know, it was a year and a half, and they decided they wanted to get married. So they got engaged, they told his family, they were thrilled, they go to tell her family, and they're like, oh, so when are you due? You see, it was the custom that you live together, then you get pregnant, then you get married in their family. So they just assumed that they were pregnant and it was time to get married because they had gotten pregnant. Wasn't a big deal. It's just, okay, you're getting married. Obviously, you're pregnant. What a great society to live in, isn't it? That happens. That's true. But back in those times, for Mary, it's a very complicated thing. It's very, very dangerous. Very much life and death to be pregnant when you're not married. And when you're told you're going to be pregnant by an angel and your fiancé doesn't even know. So he wasn't even there, and so you got to tell him, and then he's supposed to believe you. So, one thing that we need to understand is back then society gives the man the right to have his fiancé stoned if she is unfaithful. And the other side to that is that judging by the man's reaction determines on whether or not the man is guilty or innocent. If a girl goes out and is unfaithful to him, if he has her stoned, it means it wasn't his deal. He didn't have anything to do with it. If he doesn't have her stoned, it means that he was. It is his child. But if he takes her, and they know that the child is his name is immediately ruined. That also is something that's maybe a little bit harder to understand for us, because I don't think that we care so much about a name these days. But back then, your name was everything. A person's worth was his lineage and his name. And for Joseph to be of the lineage of David, the greatest king in all of Israel, that's a big deal to have your name ruined. You can't just take out another credit card. Your name was your credit. And so we discover that Joseph is a good man. Not after the angel tells him that Mary is pregnant and that she's telling the truth, but we see Joseph's goodness when he doesn't have her stoned right there. Because it says that Joseph is going to divorce her quietly. He doesn't want her harmed, even though he doesn't yet believe that this is of the Holy Spirit, because he didn't embrace it at first until the angel tells him. But we see his goodness before that, because he's a good man and because he truly loves her. So he's going to let her go quietly, and he's going to try to save both their names, even though it's probably, he knows that it's not going to work. And he becomes an even better man when he marries her and gives up the goodness of his name and the lineage of David. Because obviously society is going to look at this man and say, you married her, you did wrong. Even though David knows. So he still gave up his name. He still gave up his worth, and Mary the same. So we see that Joseph is indeed a very good man. Now I want to think about what Mary must have gone through. What must have been going through her head as Gabriel was telling her of what's to come? Turning back into Luke, where we hear so much about Mary. Like Joseph, Mary's going to be ruined. She's going to be disgraced. She's unwed, she's poor, she's pregnant, and she knows this is going to ruin the man that she loves too. She knows it's not just going to ruin her. You know, women, think about that stuff. Of course, all that stuff went through her mind. She knows that she's going to ruin the man that she loves. Because society is not going to believe that she was conceived of the Holy Spirit. So when she said to the angel, when she said to Gabriel, may everything that you have said about me come true, she was also saying, let everything else that you didn't say about me come true. Because there's all that goodness that came along with it, but there's all of these other things that she had to give up. That she and Joseph had to give up to be the parents of this Messiah, of this child. He said, I am the Lord's servant. Let all this come true. As we go deeper into the story, every year, so many times I've heard this story, and these things, they haven't really permeated my heart before, because I didn't completely understand. And I can't say that I completely understand, because I don't. But as we learn more and more about these things, as we learn more and more about what Mary went through and what Joseph went through, not it wasn't just, hey, we got pregnant from the Holy Spirit, oh, praise the Lord. It was, praise the Lord, we got pregnant from the Holy Spirit. Oh, man, we're dead. We're outcast. Our lives are ruined in the society of the world. Not only that, but we know we're going to raise a child who is going to be crucified. So much more to this story than just meets the words that we read, or the nice little tale that we read to our kids Sunday mornings. What a beautiful story of God's love and His plan for us. Now, there was nothing that could have blessed Mary and Joseph more than being in God's plan, but it wasn't easy, and we need to remember all the details. And so that when we remember all the details, we can be thankful for all of the story. Hard to be thankful for all of the story when we don't really look at it and get into its depths. And I know as I study more this year, I have an even greater thankfulness in my heart, and I hope that you guys will do the same. Ponder these things. Think about trying to put yourself in their place. Women, try to put yourself in Mary's place. Guys, try to put yourself in Joseph's place. I'll try to put myself in the angel's place, but it's not, my wife says that's not going to happen, so. Let's remember this story this year. Let's take it for its meaning. Let's take it for what it really, really says deep down and try to understand what a wonderful but what a trying time it was for Mary and Joseph. And what a perfect relationship God must have had it chosen for them to cling together during that time. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the Christmas story, and we thank you for the account of in the Bible of your son's birth and coming. And we thank you for Mary and Joseph, and we thank you for the commitment to you that they have shown us in their marriage and their commitment to one another and their love to one another that they showed each other during that time. Because we know that they were truly blessed. But what we may not understand as much is how hard it must have been for them to go through that. And we thank you for their servant hearts, that they were your servants and that they loved you more than themselves. And I pray that we love you more than ourselves too, Father God. Amen.